Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C. So markguberti.com/book. And now let's dive right into the show. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. Podcasting is one of the greatest opportunities we currently have for growing our audiences and building relationships with influencers in our respective niches. And few people know the podcasting world as well as today's guest, a CPA, entrepreneur, and podcaster. He's been heavily involved in the podcasting space since 2013. He started the world's largest conference for podcasters, organized the first ever podcaster conference at sea, and even co-hosted two podcasts of his own. Today's guest for the big episode 100 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Dan Franks. Dan, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, the pleasure is all mine, and 100, you know, I can't even say thank you enough. That's pretty awesome to be episode 100, so I'll try to bring it for you.
Dan, I really look forward to bringing it in for episode 100, and the podcast movement is one of the biggest podcasting conferences ever. I mean, you guys constantly get so many speakers for that, and for people who want to learn about that, you can head over to podcastmovement.com, but it started out as an idea and a Kickstarter campaign. Back in 2014, you guys raised a little over $30,000 to make that event a reality. And I'm wondering if you could share with us how you were able to generate that level of attention for the first event and land speakers.
Yeah, man. You know, it's a little bit of right place, right time, where, you know, the opportunity meets, you know, meets what we were trying to do. Yeah, I mean, so kind of taking a step back, where we got the idea for Podcast Movement to begin with really was us. Like you mentioned, I was a podcaster, still am, and I wanted a conference for podcasters. I would go to other media type events, and there would be sessions for podcasters. There would be blogging conferences, and they would have a small track for podcasters, that kind of thing. But there was no conference for podcasters. There was no central event where if I was a podcaster and I wanted to go meet other podcasters and I wanted to go learn more about podcasting, all of those things, it just physically didn't exist no matter how much we wanted it to. And myself and my partners, none of us were event organizers. None of us had done this kind of thing before like we're doing now. But we saw that opportunity, and we didn't really see the opportunity as much from a business perspective. We didn't say, hey, this is a great opportunity to make a lot of money. But what we did say is, hey, this is something we wish existed in the world. It doesn't exist. Someone's going to create it. Why not us? So that's really kind of where this whole thing started. And you mentioned the Kickstarter, which is where we really got this thing off the ground. We just took a step back and said, hey, you know, here's four of us, our four partners initially. You know, we think this is a good idea. This is something we want. But what are the chances that it's something other people want enough to make this thing sustainable to even host? And that's where the Kickstarter and the crowdfunding came in, is that crowdfunding campaign really gave us the opportunity to validate this idea. So this idea that we thought was cool and we thought was great, putting up a Kickstarter campaign and not only asking people, hey, do you think this is a good idea? But if so, we need your financial support to show us this was a good idea and show us you agree with it and it's something you would want to be a part of. And that's really where it all started, was just trying to figure out if this was a valid concept. And then from there, kind of the rolling rock started picking up the moss. We started spreading the word around to our fellow podcasters who we had online relationships with, just from all of us having podcasts and helping promote each other's shows and being guests on each other's shows and all of those things. And then one thing led to another, and not only were people starting to support financially on the Kickstarter, but also people starting to show interest in being speakers and panelists and all the things that go into a conference, sponsors, exhibitors, that kind of thing. And that's really where it all started and how it started picking up steam during that Kickstarter campaign.
And what I love about that story you just said is that it's just based on you seeing something that was missing and then saying, I see this is missing. Instead of me like, oh, shucks, this is still missing, I will provide the solution and I will basically create this opportunity for people who are in the same boat where like, oh, something's missing. There's not something for podcasters. And it is important for us to be able to do that, where we're able to see a problem but then solve instead of wishing someone else would solve it. What specifically would you recommend for people who are in that situation where they see a problem and they're thinking about being the solution?
Well, I'll tell you something that really kind of jumped out to me, and I didn't know it was something that existed until we started taking the initiative to do this ourselves. But we had probably a dozen different people come to us after we got this thing going and said, oh, you know, I had that same idea. I was just about to do one myself, or we were just about to start our own conference, but I guess now we won't because you guys got it going. Not necessarily saying that in a negative way, but more just kind of, you know, anecdotally telling us this or telling us, you know, such and such was also thinking about doing something like this. And it really got me thinking, like, you know, A, how many people saw the same need and just didn't take action? And then B, how many of those people, you know, how long have they been doing that and saying, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And then they just were looking for an excuse not to, is what it seemed like, because really, you know, some other smaller things and different things have popped up after Podcast Movement. But everyone's kind of, you know, welcomed us with open arms as the central place for podcasters to go to every year. And yeah, so you asked about like lessons and what people should do. I really kind of believe in the fire first mentality, which is, you know, ready, fire, aim, that kind of thing. So just taking a chance and putting your foot out there and kind of looking at whatever it is, whatever this idea you have is that you're kind of sitting on the fence on, see this opportunity, wondering if it's something you should take action on, looking for the best way to validate this idea and looking for the best way to test your idea, float it out and see if it's, you know, if it's something viable, see if it's something you should pursue heavily or see if it's something you should scrap and move on to the next one. So I think, you know, every situation is different. Every opportunity is different. So you're going to have to not necessarily everyone's going to be a fit for a Kickstarter or everyone's going to be a fit for some other sort of minimum viable product. But there's something based around your idea that you can do to see if it's something that's a real opportunity or, again, something that you should just throw back in the water.
And it is really interesting for a lot of podcasters, also my standpoint, to hear about the backstory of Podcast Movement, because it's such a large, successful conference that attracts a lot of podcasters. I'll actually be there in 2018, but I'd love to shift back to the overall like growing podcasts, like more of the stuff that we're going to get within Podcast Movement. So just so we can get a little preview, one of the big things that podcast hosts want to do is they want to get more listeners for their shows. And I'm wondering, with that in mind, what are some of the ways that we can build our audiences to get more listeners for our episodes?
Yeah, that's a good question. And like you said, that's probably the biggest question we get. And the reason being, you know, some podcasters get into podcasting to try to make some money. Other people try to get into it to make their art. But regardless of what kind of that end game is, everyone wants more people to listen to whatever it is they're putting effort into and putting time into creating. So what you asked was probably the number one most important question, which is, you know, I've got this podcast and it can really translate to blogs or anything else that people are creating online. How do I get more listeners or more eyes and ears on what I'm doing? And to me, at least in podcasting, especially when you're starting out, the number one thing you can do, on top of, you know, friends and family and trying to spread the word that way. But the number one thing you can do specific to podcasting is try to find podcasters that are podcasting about the same thing you are, on the same topic, the same genre. And quite honestly, try to link arms with some of these people that are also in the same position as you. Say you have some kind of audio drama podcast that's kind of popular right now. Find other audio drama podcasts that are relatively the same age as you, relatively, you know, the same size audience as you, and know that probably a lot of their listeners are not the same as yours if you're still on the small side of the podcasting audience size. And try to link arms with them and trade promotion spots. tell these other podcasters that, you know, if you suggest that people, if they like your show, they listen to mine at the end of your episode, I'll do the same at the end of my episodes, and we'll try to kind of cross-pollinate that way. And that's something that's it's kind of the network approach. And a lot of people think that, well, we have to get on a podcast network to be able to start trading advertisements or start trading promotion with one another. But that really couldn't be the further from the truth. And that's the number one thing that's free, doesn't cost money, really just cost a few emails or becoming more active in some of these online podcast communities. And it's a great way to find people that are super interested in things just like you're creating. So that's the number one. And you can find those online communities on Reddit. There's a couple big subreddits for podcasting where there's podcasters in there always looking to try to find similar shows that might be able to help each other grow their audience. Facebook groups, there's a few Facebook groups of podcasters. Same thing. Some of them are very generic in terms of all genres are represented, while others are more specific to true crime or to sports or to comedy and that kind of thing. So I would say hands down, number one is really trying to have an open mind to helping other podcasters, and in return, they will help you.
And as you were talking about getting these other podcasters and finding them, I was immediately thinking of like going on iTunes and doing a search or Stitcher or one of those. But Facebook groups and especially Reddit are marketing platforms that I feel like we don't really think about as much. And I'm wondering how we can utilize those for our podcast. Is it just based on building relationships with hosts of other shows, or is there something more to it?
It depends. Facebook and Reddit are two completely different platforms. Talking about underutilized platforms for podcasters, though, I think Reddit is a huge one. Anyone who's not familiar with Reddit, there are subreddits, which are just basically specific pages within the Reddit platform on everything from very generic topics to super niche topics. So you'll have a true crime subreddit where people talk about all kinds of true crime. Then you'll have a true crime podcast Reddit subreddit where everyone will be talking about all their favorite true crime podcasts. And then you'll have even further drilled down niche Reddits where they're talking about specific true crime podcasts. So Reddit really does kind of run the gamut, especially for podcasters. And where the opportunity is for marketing is if you do have a true crime podcast, you can figure out which one of those subreddits might be a good fit, and you can become involved in that community. You don't want to just immediately jump into that subreddit and start promoting your show. But if you become involved in that community, something you're able to do is post about your podcast as a new post within Reddit or in latest episode. If you're covering a popular true crime issue or true crime story, you can tell people, hey, this topic gets discussed a lot on this subreddit. I did an episode where we talked about it in depth and I had such and such guest on to discuss it with me. Those kind of things are huge opportunities to get in front of audiences that might be super interested and super receptive to your show, and they just don't know about it. So I think that specific platform is super underutilized by podcasters.
And Reddit is definitely something that I'm going to check out later. I mean, it has a history where, like, if you are, like, over-promotional, like, that's really bad in that community. But I could see engaging in the subreddits, how that would help you build really healthy connections and spread the word about your podcast. But once we do get to that point where we're spreading the word, as you mentioned earlier, some people want to generate revenue, others want to master their art, but for the people who want to generate revenue, especially with some of the costs that are associated with podcasting, how are we able to turn that increase of listeners into more revenue for our businesses?
Yeah, and it's a good question, because even the people that do get into it for the art, you reference the cost of doing a podcast. It's not free. There's equipment costs, there's hosting costs, there's website hosting costs, there's your time. Even the people that do get into it for the art, they usually do at some point try to see if there's some way to at least break even on this thing you're creating. And there's a few opportunities out there. I think anyone who listens to some of the larger podcasts, they're aware of the more traditional advertisers. So your Blue Apron or your Casper Mattresses, some of these large companies that buy advertisements on some of the larger podcasts. But most people that start a podcast, 95% aren't going to get to the size, the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of downloads that some of these larger advertisers want. So that really does kind of cause you to say, okay, what opportunities are there out there then for me as a smaller independent podcaster to still monetize and, you know, either turn a healthy profit or at the very least cover your costs. And one of my favorite is the Patreon platform. So it's crowdfunding, kind of like Kickstarter. So no surprise that it's one of my favorite platforms. But it's a platform for crowdfunding creators. So whereas Kickstarter, you might have a product you're going to start, or like us, a one-time event we wanted to launch. Kickstarter is more for if you have a recurring podcast or you have a YouTube series, or a Patreon, I'm sorry, is more for those types of things. And what you can do is you can tell your listeners, you know, if you like what you hear and you want to find a way to support the show, you can go to my Patreon page and you can pledge $1 a month or $5 an episode. Or there's a number of different ways you can kind of set up your Patreon as a podcaster. And then you can simply just say, if you want to support the show, here's a great way to do it. You can also set up, much like Kickstarter, you can set up tiers of rewards. So you can say, you know, here's if you contribute $10 a month, then I'm going to put out a special episode once a month that only $10 supporters will be able to hear. Or if you support at the $20 level, then I'll send you a special t-shirt or that kind of thing. Kind of the sky's the limit. There's no limits to what you can do there. But what it does is it gives your loyal listeners, no matter how many of them there are, the opportunity to help support you. And that's what we hear quite a bit from podcast listeners. They say, hey, here's a show that I really like. I wish I could support them. Like, I'd give them $5 a month just to show them that we appreciate this content that they're putting out for free, but we don't have a mechanism to do that. And that's what Patreon does, is it allows those loyal listeners to support a show. And a lot of times I think podcasters are a little reluctant to hop onto this platform because they say, oh, I only have 100 downloads an episode, or I only have 500, or whatever that number is. But if those people are listening episode after episode, it doesn't matter whether it's a small number or a large number. Those people that are listening are passionate, and there's some percentage of those that want to help support making the show possible.
Patreon is definitely an interesting option because, I mean, as you mentioned, you can get people to help support the show who would want to support the show anyway. And one thing that has really interested me with your style of doing podcasts is that you've co-hosted two different podcasts, and most of the people who I interview who have podcasts, it's just them. It's not like they're doing it with another host. So I'm wondering if you could share with us the dynamic between being the lone host versus co-hosting a show.
Yeah, it's interesting. First and foremost, the reason why it started that way to begin with for me was almost like having an accountability partner, right? I mean, that's what they say, like if you're going to start going to the gym or you want to lose weight, like have somebody there that you're not only speaking your goals to, but then are there to hold you accountable and you know, not to be mean, but make you feel guilty if you start, you know, falling off the wagon. To me, that's how it started. Was I had always talked about starting a podcast. I was an avid listener of podcasts, but just never really taken that final step to starting one. And I just so happened to work with a guy who was in a very similar position as me. And we helped serve one another in that accountability partner role, where we got each other off the bench and said, well, let's just do this together. And having that other person that's investing in the equipment, and the other person that's investing in starting to create content and things like that, really kind of drove me to, all right, you know, I need to show up to recording this week, or we need to publish an episode this week because, you know, Joe over there is doing the same thing and, you know, I don't want to let Joe down. So, you know, at the heart of it, in terms of the dynamic, like you asked, that was the biggest thing for me, was just knowing that, you know, I'm going to keep pushing these episodes out because that other guy is waiting on me and, you know, counting on me. So, you know, that was the biggest one. In terms of other types of dynamic, like the technical aspects are different in terms of how the setup is. You know, you could certainly do a Skype interview like you and I are doing now, but there's some other ways to kind of create a little better dynamic for remote type interviews. In-person interviews with multiple mic setups is different. It's a little more complicated. So there's plenty of differences in terms of the technical aspect. And then just me, I tend to do better when I can banter and go back and forth with somebody, whether it's a little more of a scripted segment or it's completely free form conversation. It's just easier for me to have somebody that's on the other side of the mic talking back and forth to me. And I think oftentimes it creates a little more compelling content. I think if you, look at any of the really popular radio shows, all the way from, you know, the sports shows that always have two co-hosts to Howard Stern, who's always talking, you know, through the window at Robin and some of his other co-hosts. There's kind of a tried and true method here where multiple people talking and talking to each other creates some more dynamic and compelling audio. So those are just a few of the things that immediately come to mind.
And it's really interesting to hear this in a, like, hear the differences. I mean, with all these sports shows, I do see how, like, a lot of them, it's co-hosted shows, and it does create a different dynamic where you could feel like you could favor one of them over the other, you could feel bad for one of them or something like that in sports. And in your case, it's really interesting that you use this to get started, because it you needed someone to help keep you accountable, and then this, like, later on led to podcast movement, but you need that person to keep you accountable. So, I mean, I definitely find that really interesting that accountability was your fuel, in a sense, for starting your podcast.
Yeah, and I mean, it's such a tried and true method. I mean, that's the reason why Alcoholics Anonymous is, you know, meet up every week and that kind of thing. I mean, so it's not just about content creation or anything like that, but there's just that psychological aspect of having someone else count on you. And, you know, even if you are a solo podcaster, that same dynamic somewhat exists with your audience, because if you do have a recurring regular release schedule of your podcast, you know, that audience is starting to expect every Monday this episode is going to drop and I can't wait for it. And if it doesn't come out, I'm let down, because that's what I do every Monday morning when I drive to work, is listen to that show. So that same dynamic does exist with listeners as well.
And I do find that, like, you're listening to your own episodes, which is something that I feel like more of us should be doing, because we can learn as we are able to listen to our episodes. And I'd love to shift gears a little bit towards a question that I enjoy asking people, because you get a lot of different answers each time, all of them, in my opinion, very powerful. So what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
I think most people get like 95% of the way there. So most people know where they want to be. A lot of people know where they want to be, and most of them know how to get there. They know these are the steps I need to take to make it happen. So I think it's really just a lack of going that last extra mile versus like not knowing how to do it. And you know, that's kind of a generic statement, but ultimately, to me, everything that I've succeeded in, it's because I've, you know, almost given up and just pushed through in that last little bit. And that last push is what made it a success. And I think a lot of people kind of have those ideas in the back of their head, and they oftentimes will get pretty far with them, just not quite far enough.
I mean, that's a really powerful concept where we are almost there. It's just that little bit that makes a difference between breakthrough and still trying to figure out how all this works. And I definitely believe we should really think about that as we do embrace all the challenges that are part of our journeys. And Dan, I know you've had several challenges. It's something that everyone has. But what is one big challenge that you faced in your podcasting journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge?
You know, I think in terms of my podcast journey and creating the content, it really was that first podcast that we were referencing. It was called Entrepreneur Showdown. Myself and my co-host Joe, we interviewed different entrepreneurs every week. And what we tried to do was, having two people interview these guests instead of one, really create that different dynamic. And, the biggest challenge we had there towards the end, before we had to call it quits, it's funny, I was talking about the accountability that got us started. But that accountability waned as things started happening in our lives, our personal lives, where, you know, he started getting pulled one way, I started getting pulled the other, and we were not able to connect. And I think that was a big letdown for both of us that we decided to ultimately pull the plug just because of us going our different directions. So, I mean, I think from the content creation standpoint, that was really it for me, was I thought we were just on the cusp, just needed to push a little further to really kind of break through. And we just weren't able to do that. So that, to me, that was the biggest challenge. And it kind of brings together not only what got us started in podcasting, but what we just talked about, which are the biggest, you know, challenges and the biggest reasons some people, you know, don't succeed. So I think that's probably a good one. You know, been through all kinds of challenges with the conference and some of these other, you know, the conference related ventures we've had that haven't necessarily gone the way we expected or wanted them to. But I think the real key was every time something like that happened, whether it was the Entrepreneur Showdown podcast ending or some of those challenges that we've run into with the conference, really not letting those challenges happen in vain, and learning from those mistakes, or, and always learning from what we go through, whether it's the successes or the mistakes. So then we either know, you know, what route to do things in the future, or what way, you know, what things to avoid, or what things went wrong, and how to learn from those going forward.
And in that challenge where you mentioned having to do that last episode for the Entrepreneur Showdown podcast, it's something that you can only really experience in co-hosting, where if you're two going your different ways, then the podcast can get shut down. Like if you're doing it on your own, then maybe you adjust the podcast. But for co-hosting, I feel like this is important for people to know, like if, especially in an exit situation like what happened with the Entrepreneur Showdown. But what was that last episode like? Was that like thanking the audience and talking about both of your ventures, or did something else happen during that episode?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, it just kind of cut cold turkey. There was not really even a final farewell. And I think that's one of the biggest, you know, when I call it a big challenge and something that, you know, I'm disappointed in the way it ended, I think that might be the biggest one, is just, you know, we signed off from the last episode saying, you know, we'll see you next week, and we never saw people the next week. And, you know, there's a big lesson to be learned there, I think, because we did for months later have people emailing us saying, what's up, what's going on, you know, you should have just given us an update. And at that point, we kind of felt it was so far down the road that we had lost just about everyone. But I think that's a lesson not only in podcasting, but just kind of in business and relationships in general, is like, if you have other people that are, you know, interested and vested in what you're doing, whether it's a business or a podcast or some other, again, some other relationship, it's not wrong to let people know what's going on. And if it's ending, they're letting people know. I've heard a few podcasts recently that had to wrap up, and they were much more tasteful in the way they did it. And they did exactly like you suggested, which is a final podcast and letting people know, you know, this isn't the end. It's the beginning of what's next for both of us. Or if you're a solo podcaster, just letting people know what's next for you. And ultimately, you can hopefully create a bridge to whatever is next for you, whether it's a new podcast or a new business or a new website or whatever it is next. You know, you can kind of hit the ground running on that next thing simply by just telling people what's going on. And you know, ending a podcast is not the end of the world. Every good TV show ends, and I say every good TV show because there's a few soap operas I know of that have been going on and on and on, and I'm not sure they'll ever end. But most, you know, successful TV shows, they wrap it up. They have an ending episode. They let people know, you know, this is it. This is the end, and really turn that opportunity into celebrating whatever it was that you've been creating for all this time, as opposed to being sad and, you know, ticked off that it's over.
And I love that last takeaway for not being sad that it's over, but being happy that it happened. And I mean, with the way like different schedules work, I can see how sometimes it's not easy to produce that thank you episode, that final farewell in a sense. But for anyone who is co-hosting, like you may be on the ride of your life right now enjoying it, but just think about that in the back of your mind, because it can happen. Now, I know some people may not want that to happen for a while if they're co-hosting, but just know that it can happen. And it's very important to be able to have a sentiment where you're happy that it happened.
Exactly.
And one of the things that Breakthrough Success listeners know about me, well, first off, I'll be sticking around for a while. But in addition to that, I'm a really big bookworm. So, Dan, I'm wondering if you could recommend three books that would help us grow our business.
Yeah, so I'm not as big of a bookworm, but I do have a few that have kind of been well, I've got three different ones, so I'll just throw them out there. So the first one that's been pretty influential in the podcast movement business is The E-Myth, which Michael Gerber, it's a very famous book. You've probably had it suggested on the show before, but it's really helped us put some systems in place where we needed them with podcast movement. Anytime anyone like us builds something from the ground up, you just kind of are piecing things together as you go, and just kind of, you know, building this house of cards, so to speak, is how we felt. Just as we needed to grow, we were just figuring out what it would take just to grow that next level with no real foresight into seeing, you know, where does this need to be down the road and what systems can we put in place to get it there. So that's the kind of classic one. Right now I'm reading one called Expert Secrets, I believe is what it's called. It's Russell Brunson. He's an internet marketer and sometimes a polarizing figure. But I've been reading Expert Secrets, which really is interesting because it gets into the mindset of people who follow leaders and follow experts in various niches, and talks about everything from cult leaders and what they've done and what they did in the past to get those followers, and how you can use that not for the bad that those cult leaders oftentimes did, but how you can use those same kind of psychological thought processes to do good and to, you know, position yourself as a thought leader in whatever your niche or industry is. And then the third, I'm going to cheat here because, like I said, I'm not a huge bookworm. It's a book, but it's something that I write in, and it's a productivity planner, and that's actually what it's called. It's from the Intelligent Change team, and it's something that I've implemented within the last few months, and it's a daily kind of goal tracker and setting my goals up. And it's just called Productivity Planner, and it's something that's really been influential in how I operate on a day-to-day basis. And it qualifies as a book because there's different segments in here of quotes and stories from productive people in the past, everything from artists to business leaders and things that has really, like I said, helped improve my productivity over the past few months.
Dan, thank you for those great book recommendations. I'd like to sidestep a little bit, though, because you mentioned Expert Secrets, and I know you're part into it. Have you gotten into the webinar chapter yet?
No, and you know that's something that I know Russell's been is really good at and really successful at, so looking forward to that part.
Yeah, I frequently go back to that chapter. I've read the book, but anytime I want to create a new webinar, I always go back to that one. So you're in a treat in the next upcoming pages.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I've been dog-earing and putting bookmarks in various pages just as I go, just things to reference back to. So I have a feeling it's going to be, like you said, a little more of a reference book than just a once or one read book.
Yes, you'll definitely find yourself going back into it. I mean, I do. Obviously, I don't want to talk too much about the book, but for anyone who knows about it, you know that you're going to find yourself going back into it. But Dan, I've asked you a lot of questions throughout this episode, and as we head towards the end, I flip the tables at this point of our journey together. So what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I think the biggest question that I always ask people and flip the tables on is just why, and as is why. That's it. And specifically, this conversation has kind of leaned towards why are you not doing whatever it is you're wanting to do, whatever it is you're thinking about doing. What is that one piece that's holding you back? And I really do believe that it's oftentimes, like I said earlier, just that one piece or that extra inch or that extra, you know, push that pushes people past. And I think the biggest thing is to identify your why you're not able to do something. What's that one thing that's holding you up? And once you identify that, I think it's a lot easier to make that extra push. So I always, when people are having issues, I simply like to ask why and then sit back and see where it goes.
Dan, thank you for providing us with that insightful question and sharing all of your great insights throughout this episode. For Breakthrough Success listeners wondering, you can learn more about Dan at danfranks.me. See some of the things he's doing. That's danfranks.me, not .com. And if you want to go to one conference this year about podcasting, make it the Podcast Movement. I will be there for 2018 in Philadelphia for the Podcast Movement. Dan, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be on the Breakthrough Success podcast. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, I really appreciate you having me on and allowing me to be number 100. And I can't wait to meet you in Philadelphia this year.
Can't wait for it too. It's going to be a lot of fun. Breakthrough Success listeners, I need your help to keep this show running. I choose not to use sponsored ads in my episodes to provide you with a better experience. However, this decision gives me little money to pay for storage in my team, which comes over to over $1,000 per month. So please consider supporting the Breakthrough Success Podcast on Patreon by heading over to patreon.com/MarkGuberti. For as little as $1 per month, you can help Breakthrough Success stay running while taking advantage of exclusive content and other perks that come with being a patron. To help support Breakthrough Success, head over to patreon.com/MarkGuberti or search for Breakthrough Success on Patreon. That way, I can maintain the Breakthrough Success podcast so it stays running and provide you with valuable episodes.